So I would like to share with you a couple of ideas now that are really hopefully going to help you to understand why I'm taking this section of the course the direction that I'm taking it in. All right, how well we go on to manage ourselves is going to be determined by how aware we are of ourselves. Now we're talking on different levels here. There's how aware we are, first and foremost, as life coaches. The more aware we are of ourselves, the more aware we're going to be of where our clients are actually at. The better we're going to be able to see what's true for them, what's not true for them. I'm hoping in that last demonstration with Karen, you kind of followed along, you saw what I actually done, and you hopefully also observed how it was that I led Karen out of a negative, a place of being negatively motivated, and into a place of being more positively motivated. And then you will have obviously have seen how it was that her perception completely shifted. All right, I want to be straight with you here when I say that we cannot coach anyone who is negatively motivated, right? Doesn't matter how great our coaching process is, what coaching models we're using. When a person is operating from a place of negative motivation, they are forever going to remain lodged in their natural default mode, which could be apathy, or it could be angst, or anger, or fear, or apprehension, or whatever, right? And those attitudes are never really going to enable our clients to get out of the place where they're at and start moving forward towards that place where they want to be. So until our clients are crystal clear on what it is that they actually do want, right, and are no longer focused on what they don't want, then they're never going to really find the drive to start taking action steps. So I want to share with you an idea now, all right, about the three levels of perception. And I'm building upon a couple of ideas that I've built into the course now, one of the main ones being discernment, right? And this is our ability as life coaches to see or discern where a client's actually at. So our level of awareness is going to determine our ability to manage ourselves, and our ability to manage ourselves is going to determine how effective we are in influencing other people. All right, so that last demonstration with Karen was absolutely perfect, to be honest with you. Not saying I'm perfect, I'm just saying that what we wanted to accomplish was accomplished. I led Karen out of this place of uncomfort as she was obviously being driven by what she didn't want, and into a heightened state of awareness where she was then able to self-regulate and focus on what she actually did want. And when she focused on this, she became more empowered and more excited. And this is what is going to give us context for an actual coaching relationship now. Are you with me? All right, so there's two factors that determine how we see, all right? Not what we see, it's how we see, all right? Do you remember the example I gave earlier on? And this is where two people could be looking at a mountain from different sides of the mountain. One person can be telling the other what they see, but if the other person can't see it, they're going to argue until they're blue in the face. All right, and in the same way, two people can be looking at the same opportunity or the same outcome in life, but if one person is coming from a place of negative motivation, whereas the other is coming from a place of being positively motivated, and again, how they see what they're looking at is going to be perceived differently by both of them. So the two factors that determine how we see: we look for opportunities to enhance the quality of our lives. We look for ways to facilitate positive change in others. All right, now this is kind of like chalk and cheese here. When we started out that conversation with Karen, all right, the goal was to enhance the quality of our life. All right, and what's true with Karen, just as you've just seen, is going to be true for most of your clients, because the greatest problem that they ever have is more often than not going to be how they feel about themselves. So when we are experiencing an emotion or a feeling or some sort of state that we don't like, of course, we want to grow out of this. We want out of this. People only have a problem when they feel like they have a problem. When life's going great, people don't have a problem with that whatsoever. So whether we have a problem or whether we don't, or whether we perceive ourselves to have a problem or whether we don't, is pretty much going to be determined by what we're looking at and where we're looking from. We're going to be looking for opportunity to enhance the quality of our own life. And in circumstances and situations as these, who's the central point of the equation? Who's the central person here? Who's the most important person? That's right, it's self. All right, but when we're looking for ways to facilitate positive change in others, Well, what then becomes the primary motivating factor? That's right, other people. At all times and in all situations, we're going to be driven by one of two things, or three things, sorry. We're going to be focused by making money, by making a name for ourselves, or by making a difference, all right? And this is true for all of us all of the time. So did you see how Karen's physiology and how pretty much everything changed for her when her focus was no longer herself? Getting it wrong, making a mistake. And when her goal actually became to make a positive difference by sharing her value with other people, everything changed for her. All right. Now, you might be watching this thinking, this is like really, really simple, basic stuff. And I'm going to nod my head and say, yes, it is. Coaching doesn't have to be any more complicated than this. All right. I give you my word, it doesn't. It's all about helping people to understand themselves and better appreciate what they're focusing on at any one given moment in time. And this just opens the floor for us to discuss the three different levels of perception, all right? It's all about how we see things. And this pretty much determines our day-to-day experience anyway, you know, pretty much all of the time how we see things. What we understand now is how we see things isn't always how they are, but most people assume that how they see things is how things actually are. So as life coaches, we need to understand first and foremost these three different levels. The first level comes from a word, theia. It's a Greek word, all right? I like to study a little bit of Greek every now and again alongside my morning philosophy. And the word theia means unconsidered, mindless observation. All right. Do you know anyone who lives in a place of unconsidered, mindless observation pretty much all of the time? That's right. Many people do actually live their lives there. People who will refer to things or define things as being good or bad without understanding things. It's people who will automatically judge others or make assumptions of others, or they'll look at a situation or a scenario and say, that person over there, they're bad because I think they're bad. Or we'll hear one person's side of the story and take one person's side without understanding the full story of the other person. And this is what I would refer to as unconsidered, mindless observation, when we genuinely believe that the way that we see things is the way that things are, right? We could refer to this as complete mindlessness. It's seeing without insight or comprehension. It's just physical sight. It's just what we see with the limitations of these two eyes. Not understanding what's happening with other people on a deeper level, all right? So as life coaches, we obviously cannot operate on this level, all right? We can never take things at face value. Hence the reason I unpacked that case study with you earlier on, all right? We can just read a case study, or we can take on board a client's presenting problem and just say, right, this is the problem. This is what we're working with. But 9 times out of 10, problems can impact us, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 levels deep. All right. So we've got to be able to discern and look to identify those aspects of a client's story that are fact, that are just feelings, that are perhaps expectation-based, that are perception-based, opinion-based, belief-based, because beliefs and opinions and thoughts and feelings aren't always necessarily facts, even though we think they are, all right, they're not. So the second level of perception, theorai, Greek. The Greek word means to observe whilst looking to reasonably explain. Now, this is pretty much what the sciences are all about. You know, if you go to any higher educational establishment today and you want to study coaching or you want to study the psychologies or anything like that, you'll more often than not be presented with a whole batch of theories and a whole load of academic information, which is fine. But you know what theories are? Theories are just simply ideas, right? Is every idea that everyone has a good idea? Of course or not. Sometimes we all have absolute stinkers, don't we? And this, you know, ideas aren't always necessarily facts. So a theory is just simply a way that we see things, but it might not necessarily be the way that things actually are. Now, ancient Greek philosophical thinking builds upon thinking. Ideas build upon ideas. Knowledge builds upon knowledge. You know, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, I've mentioned these guys a few times up until now. This was something that they fundamentally understood. And science has pretty much built itself on this very ideology, all right? If you think about the sciences, it's not that, you know, the sciences came out of nowhere, right? Everything has to start somewhere. Think about the understanding that you have right now. It started with an idea or a thought or an experience. It's only in time that we explore our experiences and we learn from them and then we come to better understand ourselves. But we're not born with all of this understanding right away. We're not, all right? We learn and we develop as we go. This level of perception looks to observe and reasonably explain away life, circumstances and situations. Now, if we were to look at various psychological schools of thought, I don't want to go too psychological on you here, although I could, although I would love to. I'm going to refrain and purposefully not. I could stand and do a presentation for pretty much, you know, that would last 7 full days without any sleep on the human experience. Emotionally, right? I could look at all the various psychological schools of thought, how the cognitive school of thought perceives and views emotions. Then you've got the behavioral school of thought, and they have a perception, a certain set of beliefs around human emotions and how they impact behavior. And then you've got the physiological school of thought, and then you've got the biological school of thought, and emotions are just kind of like electrical impulses that trigger through the brain, and that's all fantastic, and the sciences do a great job of trying to explain the human experience. But what the sciences very rarely do is help us to understand the human experience. Whilst we can each do a great job of explaining away the human experience in a theoretical way, if we are not helping people to understand themselves on a deeper, more profound level, then what value are we actually adding? I think, again, I mentioned earlier on that it's not academic information that gives us authority in life. It's authority. It's our understanding, isn't it? When we put principles into practice, when we apply principles in our lives and ultimately get results, this is what people are ultimately motivated by in life, isn't it? Getting results. Not just growing in knowledge. We can grow in as much knowledge as we want to. But if we are not getting more results in our life, then all the knowledge is kind of irrelevant, isn't it? So theorize about seeing only through reason and logic, seeing that which makes sense. But how many times in your life have things happened and you say things like, oh, I never saw that coming? You know, I'll give you an example. Myself and Karen in our marriage. So I come from a military background. Karen comes from a religious Church of Scotland background. Our marriage just shouldn't work because we're like chalk and cheese. But yet it does. It doesn't make any sense that our marriage works. But as I said, yet it does. All right. So whilst this can be a helpful way of looking at life on some levels in some instances, it doesn't give us the full picture. All right. Because until we understand human motives and values and the reasons why people make the decisions that they make, theory's just theory. It might give us a basis for opinion. It might even give us a basis for belief. But what we understand is that opinions and beliefs aren't always necessarily facts. And this is where we want to go. Horeo. Horeo, a Greek word, to perceive without bias or prejudice. You with me? To perceive without bias or prejudice. And this is when we start interacting with other people and we start removing ourselves from the equation. Now, this might sound like a bit of a funny idea. When we start seeing with our heart, now this what I'm going to urge you to embrace is kind of what the good coach's perspective is going to be. When we're looking at people through our heart, not through our head on a rational level, and we can't just be assuming that what we see is the way that things are. When a person says, "I am stressed," we can't just go and sign them a sick chit and say, "That's right, you're totally right, you are stressed." That's what the general practitioners and the doctors do, all right? So we want to actually become more about prevention, right? We want to be more about prevention than cure. And how we do this is by understanding other people when we ask questions like those which I've asked Karen so far. We've got to be looking and asking ourselves questions that are going to provoke us to look beneath the surface. right? Many presenting problems. For example, we could walk through our local town, our local city, something like this, and see a young man or a young woman sitting at the side of the street, and they have their whiskey bottle at the side if they're living in Scotland, and we think, that person's an alcoholic. What they have, they've got the alcoholism addictions disease, and that's it. We need to give them a cure. All right? And when we become more cure-focused than prevention focused, then we're looking to give them medication or the three-step process or something like that. And generally, all that we ever need in order to facilitate change in our lives is to understand why we are making the decisions that we're making that are bringing about the outcomes and the outputs that we're currently experiencing in life that are causing us problems. So this is our role as coaches, to perceive without bias or prejudice. So granted, you might have some absolutely diabolical behaviours going on right now. In fact, your attitude might completely suck as well, but it's not for me to say what sucks and what doesn't suck. Instead, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to decide whether your intentions are good or bad or right or wrong. I'm here to understand you. I'm here to understand what your goals actually are. Because if we can just cast our minds back to the set of beautiful attitudes right back at the start of section one, that there's no such thing as a bad intention. Well, if we fundamentally just subscribe to this attitude in life, and I'm not saying it's a universal fact, because some people have some pretty rotten intentions, but as a life coach, as a helper, if we buy into this idea, and this is the lens that we're looking at people through, then we're never going to fall into the trap of judging a person in response to their attitudes, their actions, or their behaviours. Instead, we can step back and look at them without bias or prejudice, and instead seek to understand them as well. This will enable us to ask better questions, but also identify the questions that we actually need to ask. Rather than operating from a scripted list of 10 questions, you'll have noticed that, you know, I haven't used any scripts so far throughout the course. I just simply come from a genuine place of inquisitiveness and intrigue. I want to understand Karen in the same way that I want to understand the clients that I work with. So whether we do go on to make a positive impact or whether we don't is going to be determined by how we see. We're going to be looking for opportunities to enhance the quality of our own life. And if we are looking primarily for opportunities to enhance the quality of our own life, this most likely means that we're not looking for opportunities to enhance the lives of others. And just coming back to that crazy Albert Ellis statement earlier on, when he said that most therapists are arse kissers, well, you know, what I've found over the years is that many therapists and some coaches and some counsellors will string their clients along, all right, for the purpose of getting them back week in, week out, so they can make a little bit of money. But here's the thing, when our goal is to actually facilitate positive change in others, then we come from this place of genuine intrigue. We ask better questions automatically because we're asking questions that we actually want to understand the answers to. And this is what leads our clients into greater degrees of insight and knowledge of themselves. Know thyself. We will know ourselves as we look that little bit deeper. What I'm going to provoke you to do is just wrestle with this idea, the three levels of perception, thea, unconsidered mindless observation, thea or I, to observe while looking to reasonably explain people's problems, and we can give justifications and explanations, and all that stuff's fine, but if it's not solving problems, then what is the point? That's the question we've got to be asking. Horeo, to perceive without bias and prejudice, kind of means to unconditionally accept another human being. Carl Rogers, one of the, pretty much the founding father of counselling, he coined the term back in the 1940s. This is one of the core conditions of any helping relationship that he highlighted in his book on becoming a person. If we want another human being to fundamentally trust us, to open up and share what's honest, what's really going on with them, then they're going to have to know that we can be trusted. They're only going to know that we can be trusted if we are operating from this place without bias, without prejudice, seeking to understand them instead to explain away and teach them about themselves and what their issues are. So how we see and interpret the world is ultimately going to determine how effective we go on to become as life coaches and helping practitioners. Interesting idea, isn't it? In the next clip, we're going to unpack how it is that we tend to internalize our human experience, because if we can understand this, then as life coaches, we're going to be able to see where we can start intervening, all right, and facilitating positive change. So I hope you're finding this stuff interesting, and I'll see you again in the next clip.